What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
So, Gerard, I know you're a DC Comics guy, but did you read Suicide Squad comics or?
The thing is, I didn't read Suicide Squad. And the thing that's so tricky about it is that the team roster has changed so much. But it's interesting because there's just a bunch of B-list people. But because they put Harley Quinn on it, now everyone gives a fuck. And I was like, yo, I didn't realize she was as popular as she. I mean, of course, we knew she was popular, but like she made Suicide to me cool. Like they were fine before. But it's like now they're like a prime comic, like, you know.
I would consider her to be like a sought after character, like a top tier character, right? Because of her.
Yeah.
Because of her popularity with the Joker. That makes sense to me. But everybody else, it was always like random. It was always just random people. You're saying.
Yeah. Always random.
Right.
Like
right.
C or D list.
That you could kill and no one would care. Like,
like no one ever cared. I mean, it's funny because, you know, I did watch the first Suicide Squad in preparation of watching the second one. And I was like, I rewatched it. Because I felt bad because everyone keeps coming at David Ayer so heavy right now. And he has, but like the villains he had in it makes sense. Like Killer Croc. Like that was like he had a legit squad, you know? So
I don't think people were mad at the who
he picked, yeah.
Who the team were.
Oh, the team.
Yeah, I'm at the movie.
They're just mad at the movie,
I also just sort of, we'll probably talk about it more when we get into it, but it's not, I feel like the team that James Gunn had is like the same group of people, but just just different, you know? Like, it's like they all kind of match up with the people that were in the first movie. I watched the first Suicide Squad after watching this just to like,
oh, wow.
I didn't want to watch it before.
You guys did mad prep for. I did not rewatch.
It was not prep. I was like, felt like I needed to. After watching that one, I was just like, oh, I just want to be in this world longer. And instead of watching the movie again, I watched Suicide Squad and then Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah, smart. That's smart.
I've seen the DC animated Suicide Squad movie.
Is it good?
Oh, the movie?
I liked it. It was the first time I ever heard of this Suicide Squad was this DC animated movie.
Oh. They have two. They have one. The first one I saw is like a Suicide Squad Escape from Arkham or something like that. Which I think is super cool because so basically they're hunting the Joker. But while they're hunting the Joker, right. Batman's hunting the Joker, but Batman's also hunting them. So it's like it's so crazy because it's like, you know, like Batman is almost a bad guy because like he's coming after them while they're trying to get the Joker for certain reasons. But then like,
right,
and there's another one where
I just looked it up. It's Batman Assault on Arkham. Is the one you just talked about. And then they made a newer one called Suicide Squad Hell to Pay. Yeah. And then actually there's one in the works called Toon Squad versus the Suicide Squad. Yeah,
Toon
Space
Squad?
Jam's Toon Squad versus this the Suicides.
This isn't happening. This is his transition into talking about the movie. There is no Toon Squad versus the Suicide Squad.
He's doing that's so rude. That is low key so rude.
This isn't real.
Are you doing? Are you transitioning on me right now, bro? No, are you transitioning on me right now?
I mean, I guess maybe this was just a Reddit thing, but you know, I don't know. It was kind of cool. I just saw it. It was like the Toon Squad versus the Suicide Squad.
What is happening? I don't like any part of this.
Yo, Bray, that's so rude. Hey, yo, Lucky,
he not sending
so
us
rude.
A link.
I'm not here for this. This ain't real. How dare you? What did you click? Why are you pressing buttons?
I mean, what do you guys want to see it? I mean, who do you think would win? Toon Squad or the Suicide Squad?
Why did he...
Why did you press buttons like... When you on Reddit, you like clicking shit. No, like right. You read
well,
it. Like you're not typing.
This is my last podcast. This is the last one.
Yo, honestly, that was so rude. I feel low key offended. Yo.
All right. Offended. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please wow. Don't join all the right. Suicide well, Squad. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James III,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I'm a motherfucking superhero.
Honestly?
That's great.
That makes sense.
That was a good line.
Why did I know you were going to pick something from him, James? That's crazy.
Well, because right now, the most memorable line to me. Like, I couldn't think of any... King Shark lines.
I will say, truly, I don't know about these comics. So that joke line where John Cena was like, "What do you throw polka dots at people?" And then he doesn't say anything. He's like, "Wait, is that really what he does?" I laughed so hard because I was like, "Wait, is that really what he does?"
Yeah, I don't know that character at all, but I just started reading. I mean, you know, over the last few years, started reading Batman comics and like just the most random people.
He is a joke.
The most random.
He is a joke.
Come up, and like, yeah, like throwing polka dots. I was like, yeah, of course somebody did that. Like someone in 1963 was like, there's a guy who
1962,
polka dots.
His first appearance.
Exactly. The two jokiest fucking comic book heroes are Polka Dot Man and Condiment
Man.
Yeah,
that's who I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Condiment Man. who just
like has hot sauce and ketchup and mustard and just like splashes people.
It's
with
so
sauce.
Crazy that these characters exist.
Oh, but that dude has been in, like, he's been on Flash. He was in Ant-Man and he's in this.
Polka Dot Man was on Flash?
Yeah, he played Abracadabra.
Actor, you mean? Yes, he was great.
The actor.
He was great on Flash. He's also in one of the Christopher Nolan.
Yes, he's in the Dark Knight. He's one of the Joker's thugs when the cops are having a march. What are they doing?
Has Rachel's name on his name tag, and he's just like laughing, and you're like, "Ugh, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen."
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, this voice that
oh,
you're
yeah, that part.
listening to right now, the one
Come
that
on,
sounds
man.
Kind of like a more handsome
a
Will Smith. That is,
you say a more handsome Will Smith?
that voice. That voice is Jonathan Braylock.
You know what? Now, when y'all used to make fun of me, when we used to like pitch stuff and I would bring up actors who I wanted to be like, y'all are like, nigga, what? I get it.
It sounds like this. This is what it sounds
yeah,
this
I get
what
it.
Would
I get
sound
it
like. We would be.
I get it. I get it.
All right.
Well, this voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James III.
Oh,
but that's not your voice.
Yes, it is.
Your voice might be deeper than before.
No, that's not true.
We are a film review podcast. We review the films of leading black actors.
Let the niggas know.
Talking about that in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Are they black and brown people there? Who knows?
And today we are reviewing The Suicide Squad.
It's a sequel because they put the in front of it.
The like half sequel, half reboot of Suicide Squad DC animated. I mean, sorry, it's not an animated film, a DC comic film in the DC universe, I think.
Yeah, DCEU.
Extended
universe.
5 years to the day.
Wow, really? Weird,
but whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It premiered same day on HBO Max, which might have affected its box office, which didn't do too well. But, you know, I don't know. Delta's out. I don't know. It's still pandemic box office. It doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. I mean,
26.5 million. That's the opener.
Has anything else on HBO 72. Max done really well? Like,
I think when Godzilla, when it came out, did well.
Opening weekend?
And then,
I think it did like 30 million.
It did like 30. And then something else came out. Space Jam did well. Space Jam did 32,
yeah,
33.
Yeah, Space Jam did well. It did better than this.
Listen, the last
this is a rated R film, though, to be fair.
Exactly. The last Suicide Squad was bad, and this is a rated R movie. People weren't going to go see it.
But
and
this movie...
Delta variant.
But I think that... Yeah, but the reviews have been like universally great across the board, like between like, you know, the fanboys I saw love it. It seems like reviewers love it.
It is a weird thing where like Disney actually release it because they make you pay for it. So they can you can see how much people pay to just watch it at home. But because it's free on HBO Max, there's obviously nothing like that. And then HBO Max hasn't really released streaming info for, I feel like, any of these films.
Yeah. They only did it for Wonder Woman, I think, and because Wonder Woman did like so great.
Right,
Something like that.
Space Jam and Legacy opened at 31 million.
And also, like, nothing's going to do Wonder Woman's numbers anymore because people can go out. Like, people couldn't go to the theater when Wonder Woman came out, right?
I think that 26 million in a pandemic box office isn't that bad, considering this is a rated R film. Like Jaros said, it's a sequel to a movie that was panned by critics and that a lot of people, a lot of fans criticized, which is why it got a new director and it's like half of a sequel. DCEU, is that it? There it is.
Yeah, DCEU, yep.
You know, they always underperform.
Yeah, I mean...
Or they have been for a while.
My memory of Birds of Prey was that it didn't do well, but that was just because when I saw it in theaters, nobody was out because the virus was picking up, but we hadn't been told to stay indoors. But apparently that movie did okay financially, actually.
It did pretty well. It made $201 million worldwide, $84 million budget. So $84 million.
That was the second last movie I saw.
Yeah.
I think Sonic was the last one
I saw too. I'll tell you what, I didn't see this movie in theaters. I saw it at home, but I am going to go to the theater to see it.
Oh, okay.
I saw it in theaters and it was, I mean, should we just do initial thoughts?
I could say what the Rotten Tomatoes was. What was the Rotten Tomatoes?
I think it's high. They tried to review bomb it, but it still didn't work something like that.
Audience try to review bomb it? Or
What is it called when they try to do negative reviews, but like...
Yeah, on the audience score. It's a 92%.
Damn.
Critic score and 85% audience score. I mean, that's
very
high.
Who is the they that did this? Because...
Well, apparently they were saying that people...
They failed.
People wanted... Yeah, I mean, I think that might be with them...
That's probably why it's 85, because it feels weird. It feels weird for a superhero movie that critics liked it more than the audience. Yeah. Like, that's
that might be
bizarre.
Basically, it wasn't. I don't think it had anything to do with James Gunn itself. I think there are people who just like what Snyder and David Ayer were trying to do. So they were like, this is the whole thing. Release the David Ayer cut of the movie because he's like, that movie wasn't my movie. Blah blah blah. So people are like, we're gonna bomb this one.
Listen, we already talked about this, probably have brought this up.
The Airheads.
Oh, that's great. Is that their name?
That needs to be their name.
That's great. We've already talked about this. I didn't like Justice League, but I, by the end of it, was like, oh, I guess it, you know, Zack Snyder having more say, there are things about this movie that are better than the other movie.
You mean the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League?
Cut, Yeah, but, yeah. But it's also, you know, 4 hours long, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah. yeah. Like, yeah, of course the movie makes more sense when you add another 2 hours to it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I guess that you're right. I guess I understand the story better. I don't know if I needed 2 hours, but I don't want to watch a 4 hour movie.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. And I just don't get, I don't get why it matters so much that people are just like, I mean, it's like, see, are those people seeing this movie? You know, do they know what they're bombing it for no reason, or are they seeing the movie and then bombing?
No one saw it yet. That's the thing, is they were trying to bomb before it came out. Like, no one saw it.
These people failed. That's why yeah. I was like, oh,
anyway.
Yeah, let's do initial thoughts for The Suicide Squad.
I go, I loved it. Like, I'm not the biggest gore fan, to be honest. So like that, some of that stuff was tough, but this is my thing. What James Gunn did with this movie is what I want more DC films to do. Like, this movie felt adult, but it felt like we're in a fucking comic. Like, no one was trying to rationalize why there's a goddamn talking shark. Also, spoiler, we're spoiling the whole movie if you didn't understand it.
We spoil movies on this podcast. We forget to tell people.
We're spoiling
sometimes.
It.
So get to watch it, and then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. And also, what I thought was so cool is that it felt like it was having fun in the fact that it was a superhero movie. It was like, Starro is the first Justice League villain. It is a giant fucking starfish. It don't make sense. They kind of address how it exists, but not really.
Is it in one of the Justice League episodes?
Movies?
Or
it may be.
I feel
be,
like I've seen this before.
Yeah. Yes. Matter of fact, if you watch the old Justice League, not old, but like when we
were
the younger.
First one.
There's an episode. This episode, when it's the gift for, oh my God, why do I know this? The gift for the man who got everything or something like that. And this episode for Superman's birthday, and Superman is like daydreaming the whole time. But then you realize he has Starro on his face, who's like,
this is the episode where Batman has to take on the entire Justice League, right?
Yes.
That's a freaking
episode. So it's like, so Starro's got the face.
Oh, because they all have Starro on.
Yeah, they all got the starfish.
They all got Starro. And the thing is, it's so dope because, like, if this was, they always try to do these Batman movies at the ground. It's like, no, motherfucker, he's a dude in a bat costume. Wonder Woman flies in an invisible jet, damn it. I don't care. Just make him, like, no one. We literally had that one line about Polka Dot Man, which is like, yeah, she was trying to make superheroes. It's intimate, interdimensional, whatever the fuck. Who cares? He can make acid goddamn polka dots, man. That's all I care about. So I was here for it, man. I was here for the actors. I loved it. Like, it had heart to me while still having a bunch of comedy. I felt like at certain points, like, they didn't do the quote unquote Marvel thing. It's like, have a joke right when someone dies. They let like deaths sit for a second, even if it was super comedic. And then they moved on with a joke. So I'm here for it. I legitimately want to watch it again. And the Easter eggs were dope.
Okay, I can't wait to hear those. You gotta say them every time we...
I got a bunch. Once we get there, I got a bunch.
Okay, well, I'm going to go. This movie was great. I had so much fun. James Gunn did a great job. I have already said this on Twitter, but I'm going to say it now on this podcast. But, like, everybody that's talking about they want to see the David Ayer cut of Suicide Squad. It's just like, no. When Suicide Squad came out, I was like, man, they're just trying to do Guardians. It feels like they're trying to do that with these characters. And when they hired James Gunn, I was like, great, that's all I want to see. All I want to see is James Gunn doing what he did with Guardians, but with the Suicide Squad. And I thought, and he did exactly that, you know. And like seeing, you know, James Gunn with superhero characters with an R rating is also sort of, you know, it's like exact, like in Scooby-Doo, in the first Scooby-Doo, he has Scrappy-Doo pissing all over people in the back. It's like, that's James Gunn's humor, like gross, like weird, you know. Like, I was excited that he did this, and I love what he did with this movie. He kept us on our toes in a fun way, you know, like every scenes don't end the way you think they're going to end. And that was a lot of fun. It feels to me, it really feels to me like Bloodsport was very much like Deadshot. And they were like, I guess we'll just keep the daughter element. We'll do that. You know, we'll keep all of these things. But there's something about this that they were able to do with Bloodsport that they weren't quite able to do with Deadshot. Like, I really felt his relationship with his daughter and Storm.
You felt
Storm
the non-relationship. You felt the,
yeah,
like that
you felt
scene.
The non-relationship. Exactly. Storm Reed in that scene was so good. And just, you know, I don't know. There was so much about this that I really loved. I knew they were doing the Peacemaker series throughout this. And I was like getting mad as the movie was going on. I was like, I don't want to follow this character, but I guess I get it, you know, like having like a sort of anti Captain America in the DCU.
They will, Hollywood is forcing John Cena down our throat, show. Yeah. Like, yeah. They've been forcing this dude. It's like, who did he pay off? Like, what is happening? Like,
it feels like the rise that The Rock had, though. Like, The Rock was just in everything, and I was like, I don't like him like this. And then now I love The Rock, you know, like now, like The Rock.
I used to love The Rock. Like, when he was a wrestler, I loved him. John Cena was the white dude who used to rap, and I was like, why do we, what right. the fuck is this?
Right.
He doesn't
bother me, but I wasn't super familiar with him in wrestling. Like, I knew him as an actor who was a wrestler. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not super excited for this Peacemaker series, but I liked the world building of this movie, and I think, you know, I don't know. I'm just really excited. I'm gushing now.
Peacemaker was created actually as a hero, though, right? Like, he actually was.
Peacemaker is supposed to be a hero. He's supposed to be like, you could call him like DC's Punisher, I guess. Like, he.
But if he's Punisher, then like he has a dark side, right? That's why
That's why his whole point is he just mercs everybody. So you don't know. Like, I think they even say it in the movie. It's like, are you just using this piece to like do all this fucked up shit, or do you actually, you know? I think Idris said something like, think you use whatever he said to him, but yeah, he's like Punisher, if you will, without the murders of his family.
Yeah. So I didn't like this movie.
What?
But
wait,
I will say,
no,
wow,
you like the first one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like the first Suicide Squad.
No!
Yeah.
You still like the first Suicide Squad after seeing this?
You're this
Ooh,
is a bit.
This hurts me. I'm physically hurt by this.
It's the timing of it. I appreciate this movie. It's one of those things where I watched this movie and I was like, man, if this movie came out in 2011, it would maybe be one of my favorite movies of all time. But it didn't. It came out in 2021. It came out after many, many, many movies have done this exact thing already. And I did watch it at home. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? Like, you're comparing it to other like superhero team up movies like Avengers,
I'm comparing
Guardians,
it to everything.
Suicide Squad.
Superhero team up movies, movies that like are more comic booky, movies that are jokey, movies that are like hardcore violent, right? Like, it's like we had Deadpool, we've had Watchmen, we've had so many different Marvel films in the MCU. Like, we've had Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, we've had like this movie, every component in it we've seen at least twice before, you know. And we've already had a Suicide Squad, and we've had a Birds of Prey that are also very similar tonally, you know. I do think this movie is better. Like, it is like technically better than those movies, but because it came after it, it's not, I wasn't excited by too much. I definitely laughed though. Like, I think King Shark was probably my favorite character. He was very
Hey, everyone
funny.
At home, please remember the voice you're hearing right now is that of Jonathan Braylock. Just want to have a good check in.
Exactly. Remember this Will Smith like voice.
That's why you like, because Will Smith is in the first one. Is that what this is, Bray?
I mean, look, I do think Will Smith didn't get enough credit for how good he was in Suicide Squad. I do think I liked Idris in this for sure. It is weird that he is a replica. Like, it's
the same
so
character.
Crazy.
It's true. It's, like, it's true because in
they
the
just
comics,
changed the name, but his whole thing is that he's really accurate.
No, I said no, but it's tricky because they definitely did that because in the comics, he doesn't have a daughter. It's like he's a coward. He's like a Vietnam deserter or he dodged a draft dodger. His brother goes in, his brother dies, and then he kind of goes crazy like with guilt. And so like, that's the big thing is like, I think at one point of his story, his brother loses his arms and legs. And then another one, he dies. But it's like, his brother is the reason for everything. But they're like, oh yeah, this emotional arc. Cause I think they only put the daughter so you can kind of have that pseudo daughter relationship with Ratcatcher. It's like, I think that's one reason they did it.
Man, but keep going, I don't know, man. I feel like they had a script that was like Deadshot. And then they were like, I guess we'll make it Bloodsport.
No, that's that feels like 100% what it was. It was Deadshot. And then they were like, we'll make it Bloodsport. And that's fine. I'm not even that mad. I'm not mad about that because it's like, yeah, I get it. You want to reset kind of like you still have Viola Davis. You still have Margot Robbie, you still have who's this guy?
Boomerang.
No, that's not Ja.
Jai Courtney is Boomerang. Ja and then Courtney. You're talking about Rick Flag,
Joel Kinnaman, because he was actually Joel in the movie.
Yeah. Joel Kinnaman,
because he was in the first Suicide Squad. Too,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. yeah, he was.
I mean, I'm excited to talk about it because like there's a lot of like stuff that happens in it. It was just like, I'm definitely superheroed out though, because I feel seen every iteration of it and people keep making stuff. And I'm like, even if you make it better, I've already seen this iteration of it. So yeah. I still feel kind of like, I don't know. Like I've also seen it in the DC animated universe. You know what I mean? Like the Suicide Squad Hell to Pay is also extremely violent and
it is.
And crazy like that. And they really play up how insane Viola Davis's character is. What's her name?
Amanda Waller.
Amanda Waller.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. they play up like how psychotic and like evil she is, you know, in that movie too. So I did like at times find myself being like kind of watching it from afar. That was a well-crafted joke and this was a well-crafted thing. And but I saw Deadpool and Deadpool 2, you know, like.
Yeah. And I also feel like had I seen three other Suicide Squad movies, you know, counting the first one and those two animated ones that you saw and watching at home, I don't know if I would be as excited by the movie, you know, given my experience with them is limited. But I had a great
time.
It's
funny because I agree with you, Bray, but it's one of the things I saw the other ones. I think maybe I'm reviewing this movie on a curve, but it's like, it just felt like finally watching an a live action superhero movie that was pretty similar to what the source material was. Like the comics, which are ultra violent, the animated series, the animated show, which are like, those movies are like it's jokes, it's crazy violent, it's insane. And like this movie was that, just like with humans in it. And especially coming from DC, where like it just, everybody know I'm a DC fan. I feel like I have not got a Batman movie, to be truthfully honest, that like is the character I grew up loving. Like I haven't gotten a fucking blue and white Batman. I don't even care if they go Adam West out. I haven't got that. I haven't got like a Batman animated series. I didn't get. It feels like they keep.
Bro,
trying
you gotta
to
watch
shit.
Batman Forever again, bro.
No, Batman Forever is good. Batman Forever
I just watched
is good.
That last night and I was like,
I don't know why you said Adam West style. Like, those
Batman
movies
movie?
Were made. Yeah, those no, movies exist.
But I know, but it don't feel right. It felt like a TV movie when he
Batman
had
the
shark spray. No, you're probably right, James. I do think Batman Forever is probably like a good hybrid and they just went too campy. But anyway, I do agree with you, Bray. I just like, for some reason watching it, I just was like, this feels fun. And even I felt queasy at times because I was queasy watching that animated movie, like when they were on the train and everybody was just getting murked, the animated. I was like, oh, I God. Don't like this. Like, this is too much.
Absolutely destroyed.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. Up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoy earnings over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with when you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This does feel like a fanboy movie for sure. You know what I mean? Like, it feels much like, this is what we... So you keep going close to what we want, but this isn't exactly what we want. We want it like this. And then, like, the internet was like, this is what we want. And then, like, James Gunn was like, all right, I'll make that exact movie for you.
Yeah. I mean,
and
honestly,
I was like, cool.
Yes.
But I honestly, do think... Yes. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why this movie only made $26 million at the box office. So that's not really fair to talk about that. But, like, I do think, like, this movie is made for fanboys. And it's like, cool, but that's a... That's a niche, limited audience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like after that, like other people are watching this and they're like, what am I watching? Anyway, let's talk about it. Cause the movie, I think the first thing we have to talk about is the fact that both the trailers and the posters or whatever led to this like surprise beginning of the film, which is like, you have, you know, some of these you have Jai Courtney, you got Pete Davidson, you know, like, I know the trailers like talked about Weasel. It's like, so you have like these characters that you're like, oh, like this is a part of the Suicide. And Margot Robbie's with them. It's like, even though we don't see Idris yet and we don't see King Shark, we've seen some of these other people. You're like, oh, this is a part of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Rick Flagg is there leading the group again. Like,
yeah. Everybody. just gets killed in this opening scene.
I will say this thing I like a lot about it is I really enjoy movies, and you kind of can, what I've been learning now is you kind of can tell when a movie has a good budget, but maybe not as big a budget as like you could tell this movie had money, but it didn't have money like Guardians did. Because I always realize it's like, I learned this from Deadpool when they were making it, is that a lot of times when movies only have one, technically one big set piece, but we keep cutting back and forth to get to it, that means their location budget was limited. So when I was watching the movie, it's like, oh yeah, it starts on this island, and then we cut back to like how the other people got on the island, and then it's like, all right, now we're officially on the island, and now we're just staying on the island. So it's like, really, you only see Bill Reeve and the island, and then like, you know. So I thought that was kind of cool, but there's so much stuff even in here. Like the guy, the opening scene where you see what's his name? The dude, his first off, the fact that he has all Javelin his friends, dude. Michael Roker. What was his character's name? Throw stuff.
I can't remember which role he
whatever his name is. But the guy when he gets the implant in his head, the doctor, that's the guy who created the Suicide Squad, like comic book
Savant
guy.
Is his character. Savant. Name.
So like they started off with a bang. I actually like that too. It's like we didn't have to do these backstories. It's like we start and then backstories kind of come interweave throughout, which I didn't mind.
I loved it. I love this opening was incredible. It was like so much fun.
Because you show how bad he is. Like he's a bad guy. He kills a little birdie. And it's like, oh, this dude's about to be a tough as nails. Like, look at all these weirdos. How the fuck did I get here? Kind of, you know.
And it's like these are the heroes. It's Javelin. Pete Davidson. You're just like, what? Who is this? What is this crew of people? Like this is the most.
They're also like cracking jokes that like they're all like kind of losers, like we're getting it through the eyes of Michael Roker, who's like, these are a bunch of freaking, you know, amateurs. I will say I wanted to see more of like the actual powers of some of these.
Same.
Like I wanted to know what Pete Davidson's power was. I feel like we never saw it.
Nope, we didn't see him. We didn't see Javelin
and Savant. Like, yeah, we saw him throw the ball and I was like, okay, but here's the thing about that specific thing where I was like, one, when he first threw the ball, he had like X's at on the wall. So I was like, well, that makes it less impressive. And then the other thing was like, he throws this ball and it like bounces around and kills that bird, which obviously you knew that was going to happen. But I looked at it and I was like, yeah, but you could have just threw the ball at the bird. You didn't need to bounce it off the freaking walls.
So like, Bray, he's showing he's a badass.
I'm like, plus this feels again similar to what Deadshot's power is and what Bloodsport's power is. And
I think that's the point.
The Peacemaker's power is, it's like you have the same powers of just accuracy.
I think that's
the joke.
I thought
that was the point too. Okay. Yeah, that was the point.
Because the joke
go ahead. Sorry. Well, just also just, you know, going into this movie, knowing that...
It's like making fun of comics.
Yeah. Like even Amanda, when Idris goes later on, she's like, everyone's picked for their unique abilities. And then she describes Peacemaker. He goes, what? He has the same abilities as me. Except for I'm better. Wait, no. Like, it's just a joke of like, no, these are all just the same fucking characters who are interchangeable. Someone put interest in the goddamn comedy, man. Someone do it. Like, come on, man.
Nah, he already did Best Man. Wait, no. What movie did he do? He did one of those movies that This Christmas.
Oh, This Christmas. Come on, man. No, don't do that to him. Don't do that to him. That don't count.
The electric slide at the end.
Don't count. That don't count. Don't do this. Don't bring that up. No. So we go back. We get that introduction. We get on the plane.
The only scene I did not like was the banter on the plane, which felt very much like in Guardians 2, all of the jokes in Guardians 2 were like, isn't this funny? And it was like, it's not. Some of this isn't funny. So like all of the like when Harley shows up and she's like, I had to go number two. And then when Pete Davidson's like, is this a dog? I was just like, all right, no, we know that's not a dog. I don't need to hear that Harley went number two. Like, I don't like this banter. The accent only made me laugh because that dude was so serious. he was so like, the thing that he said of, oh, what's your name? TDK. Your name is letters? Like that was...
He's like, all names are letters. And I was
that's kind of true.
But this, this particular scene, I was like, I could take or leave this scene.
I don't know if it was hate in my heart, but like there was one moment where it felt like when Pete screams, like, what is it? He screams because like he's near a dog or something like that. Like
he thinks he's a werewolf. They say might be a werewolf.
That is the only part that felt fake the entire movie. I know this sounds dumb, but like some reason I was like, why is he doing it like that? I was like, I was like, come on, bro.
But that's what I'm saying. Like that's when I was like, am I gonna hate? I thought I was gonna hate the movie. He did that, and I was
there
like,
"There are a lot of force jokes."
I'm gonna hate the this first movie.
15 minutes of this movie. It wasn't just the plane. It wasn't. And there are other parts, but like, yes, but yes, I know what you mean. Like, it started setting up this tone where you're like, "Guys, here's the thing." It's so tough because I.
Bray, don't do this.
This movie is like, I don't know. It's so
don't
hard.
Don't do this.
I wish I could have watched this movie in a vacuum. Anyway, whatever. I mean, it was funny. I will say it was funny when we're on that beach and TDK, which I guess they're like,
yes,
that stands for
that was
the detachable.
Great.
TDK was the detachable kid.
Yeah.
The detachable kid. And it's like his arms detach and they go over and they're just like slapping the. And I was just like, that's funny. Because it's like, what is, like, this power is not that cool.
And you're but not like, even good at fighting.
Like, like him on the side, like, going like. as they're like, as his arms are just slapping. And it's like, at least grab the guns and shoot. Like, what are you doing?
He's just terrible.
It was great. It was amazing.
I mean, I will say this beach scene was fun because you saw how dumb everybody was. Like, Mon Gal just jumped on the plane. I mean, the helicopter and was like, what was your plan?
What was her deal?
I think she's supposed to be. Oh, go ahead, James. Do you know?
No, I don't know. But like when she got on the helicopter, it did throw the helicopter off. So I thought she was like either super strong or super heavy. Or
I thought she was going to do it and go in. I think she's supposed to be like an alien. I assume she's supposed to be like Mongol, but I guess they made her a woman, or maybe that was a different character I don't know of. I assume she was Mongol, who's like a super strong like alien. But
right,
maybe she still was supposed to be him. I don't know.
Well, they just leaned. I mean, her name is Mongol, but they leaned into Gao.
Mongol. So maybe they read me.
She's the daughter of she's the daughter of Mongol. Actually,
got you. Okay.
Here's what I don't understand about the Weasel. Also, Weasel was funny. Weasel just.
Bruh, like, I don't know that, what that.
Weasel lands in the ocean and then just starts drowning. And they're like, did no one check if Weasel can swim? I was like, that's legitimate. Just because Weasel was like, ah! The way that it like screams.
I was here for it. I was here for it.
I was like, that is funny. Like,
Also, that's James. First off, I think this is so cool. And this is the thing I hope we can do is like, just put your friends in these movies. Like, James Gunn's brother has been in a bunch of superhero movies now, like as a real person. Like we get to him later, his real life person, but he was Weasel in this. He plays the physical version of what's the fucking Rocket Raccoon in Marvel while having a real character in there. I was like, that's so cool.
He's the like on-set Rocket.
Yeah, he's the on-set Rocket.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's great in Guardians too.
There's a behind the scenes from the first Guardians when like Rocket and Drax are sitting down and it's him being patted on the head by Batista, and it looks so funny in real life just seeing this grown man get patted by a buff ass dude. But yeah, that was fun. Also, it's crazy because when everyone gets murked, like when Pete gets murked, it's so fast, and I didn't think they were going to kill Boomerang. I was like,
that was disappointing, by the way, for me. Honestly,
yeah, like, well, kill that
character. He's my favorite character from the first
one.
And so that was why I appreciated this opening so much, because I was like excited that he was back. I was like, he's the only character I'm excited to see back, I guess, besides Harley. But we've already seen her in a couple movies now. But I was like, oh, Captain Boomerang is going to be back. And then when they killed him, I was just like, oh. Shit.
Yeah.
They Drew Barrymore'd me. Like, I really was like, oh.
They did. And it's funny because he had a cameo when in Birds of Prey. Remember in the prison he's getting arrested?
Oh, snap. Mm-hmm. Is he in that? I just watched that.
He's like waiting to be booked, and he's just like chilling the whole time. I think when she does all the guns and shit, that's how he gets out. But I thought that was dope. And I will say this. I really love transitions. I really love transitions. I think directors who can make them work are fucking fantastic. Edgar Wright being probably the best at it. And like when we see it go from like the fake Suicide Squad to like the real ones coming up on the beach. And then like that's when we get the Suicide title, and like how he interwove like Operation Harley just like out of fire or sticks. And then it would be like, I thought that stuff was cool how he littered that throughout the whole thing.
Yes, the way that the... But But specifically at this part, when they transition to the new Suicide Squad, the way the air is sucked out of the room, I was like, I got up on my couch and leaned forward. I was like, what?
Did you see this in the movie theater, Jara?
I saw it in the theater. So
how did people react?
It was crazy because like there was, I would say I love a movie theater experience, but there was a guy in front of me who was so annoying. My God. Like he would like, yes, just be like doing shit. So like when it came out, and what I realized is like Idris has a very cool walk. Like he walks like an old man, like, but he's not that old. Like he walks with a lean. So when the shot was so cool because as everything's blowing up on the other side, they slowly come out of the water, kind of like in what's that famous movie? Not Metal Gear. The war movie. Full Metal Jacket. And like it's that scene of everybody like coming out of the water slow and you see the heads and it looks a little badass. And they did this and that's when the Suicide Squad name finally comes up once everybody else died, but they're here. And I was like, oh shit. And this guy goes, yes. And I was like, yo, if you don't shut the fuck up. Cause I think he was trying to be funny, but like no one was laughing, but he didn't stop trying.
It's like, bro, we not seeing this movie with you.
Yeah, man.
We all seen it in our own pockets, okay?
So, but people were hyped because that scene happened and then we cut to 3 days late, 3 days earlier. Right. And I thought that was cool.
When they cut to 3 days earlier, I was like, oh, okay, so we are going to see Pete Davidson and all these people. And then it was like, no, not really.
No.
I was like, come on.
No. Honestly, was the only one we got, right? Pete and Weasel? Oh, no, Pete. We saw everybody because they do the, just Pete and Weasel was the only one.
Yeah, just Pete and Weasel. But also, it's one of those things where like I think they tried to do with the first one with Slipknot. Because what the comic does is like some of these people just don't matter. Like they just really don't matter. Like their backstories don't matter because they're going to die in 2 seconds. So I think in the first one, like we never got Slipknot's like backstory because he was dead the moment they touched down. It was like, oh, he's trying to leave. Boom. So I think they were trying to do the same thing. It's like so many people don't matter. We're going to focus on them. So I like that we saw Pete. Also, there's a really cool cameo as Calendar Man. I don't know if you guys watched, but like they just released part one and part two of The Long Halloween, which is this famous Batman comic, and like Calendar Man is in it, and he's just a dude with like calendar, like Jan, March around his head, and that's who James Gunn's brother plays in the flesh. Like when Idris is like walking in, he sees Weasel, he's like, ah, fuck, and then like the dude talks shit to him as Calendar Man. I was like, oh, these are cool little Easter eggs. And then
so disappointed that Weasel didn't chew that guy's face off.
I know, I thought he was gonna do something.
And then nothing happened. I was like, no, this is when you do that. Honestly, yeah. I was so mad. I was so mad Weasel wasn't in this movie. I was mad Pete Davidson wasn't in this movie. I was mad Boomerang wasn't in this movie. I didn't really like Polka Dot Man, and I didn't really like Ratcatcher 2. So I was
Ratcatcher 2.
I was like, I don't like this other squad. That's the real squad. I was mad.
Oh, I like the squad. I do
like King Shark, though.
I do like that. I do like that. I think you wanted, like, it makes sense. Like, your Suicide Squad is supposed to be weird and zany. Like, you liked the weirder, like...
Yeah.
Like,
I guess Polka Dot Person is supposed to be weird, but it's like... Here's this thing about the meta stuff. Because, again, we've had at least 2 decades... Really, 3 decades now of superhero films. So the meta stuff has also been done. And so, like... When they're doing things like making fun of like a lesser known, you know, character from the comics, I'm like, yeah, but that's not cool. You're not edgy for doing this. Like,
yeah,
that's just the same thing that everyone's doing. And now I have to actually sit with this guy for a full movie who's dumb.
Yeah, I thought they were trying to make a character cool. That's literally a joke character. And they had Ratcatcher 2, Wreckage to Polka Dot Man, and instead of making King Shark just like badass, they made him like super dimwitted. So like it was right. Like we had,
but that's normal though.
That is his character, right?
He is pretty dumb.
Yeah, but like, but
in the DC animated movie, all he says is King Shark. Like he just goes King Shark. Like he's like a somebody Groot. like Groot.
Yeah,
until the end of the movie, and then he. You know,
yeah, spoilers, but like they had, but what I'm saying is like they like King Shark on Flash is only badass. Like on Flash, he's like only going around grabbing people, eating them, throwing people in the plate, you know, and like this, it was like they got as much mileage out of they got more mileage out of the dimwitted than they got out of hulking shark.
The Harley Quinn show, I think it's like a comedian we know. I forgot his name, but he talks with the lisp. He plays like a very silly hoodie wearing King Shark, who's just like still eats people, but like he talks with a high voice. Like it's just like really dumb. But I get what you're saying though, both of y'all, because I'm like, there is something to see more of the zany characters. It felt like what they did was it took these characters that I normally made fun of and tried to make them serious. Like Polka Dot Man, like we've never heard him really. Like he's an idiot. So the fact that we gave him like, which they tried to make him silly, but also give him some type of pathos.
Yeah,
like,
give him this a backstory. Like,
yeah, this is why he's like this.
He had a mother who like tested him and his siblings and gave him an interdimensional virus that could kill him if he doesn't like expel the polka dots.
Yeah, which is insane. But wait, wait. Yeah, that was insane. I do love when we finally see all of them together, because I am not the biggest John Cena fan, but seeing him and Idris was really cool, because we have that meta joke of like, yo, these are the exact same characters, just one's black, one's white. Like, what are we doing here? And also, there is something about that scene with Idris and Storm Reed that I thought was very creative, which is something I want to try to do in my life. It's like, it's a real argument, but almost what they're arguing about is funny, but it's still like she's like, why are you such a bad dad? I told you I didn't want shit to do with you. Why don't you want shit? And it's like, it's literally like a very toxic argument,
right?
But it's funny, even though they're not playing it for jokes. I'm like, oh, this is hard. Like that is a hard thing to do. So I was here for that. Also, like, put Storm and more stuff. You know, I like, she's dope.
I just realized they could have got a lot of mileage out of Peacemaker versus Bloodsport, because Bloodsport is a deserter and Peacemaker is so, and they don't go into that at all.
Yeah, they don't even talk about it.
That's because it was probably Deadshot was originally was who the character. I'm just gonna keep saying
Will was gonna come back. I think they were gonna actually kill him, but he physically couldn't do it because of his schedule, is what they said.
Oh, you think he was gonna be in that first scene?
They reached out, but they said his schedule wouldn't do it. So I don't know if they would have actually killed Will Smith, but if they did, that would have been ballsy as hell.
I would have boycotted the movie.
If they'd have killed Will and then Idris would have showed up, I'd have been like, honestly, this is kind of...
How many sequels does Will got to be killed in?
Oh, yeah, true. But no, but then you had to have Whiteley. Like, I feel like every time Will is killed in a sequel, a Hemsworth brother is the lead.
It's like every time.
But anyway, let's jump into it. I like when we finally get there. I like we see, like, Ratcatcher 2. We realize she's young. He's like, you know, we get that first recurring bit of, like, how much can you sleep? Oh, my God, that's a rat. That's disgusting. Rats are disgusting. Screw with you. Fuck what you heard. They're terrible. I hate that they made this rat cute. No, this ain't Ant-Man.
He had a little vest. I like that. He had a little vest on. He was waving.
The rat kept waving.
That rat was cute. It was like, is it waving at me?
The rat was fun.
He sees good in you.
The actual rat catcher too. I didn't care really about her though.
Was she black? Hold on, wait. Let me look her up.
I don't think
so. Not black. Latina or something.
You didn't care about her character, her backstory, you mean?
I didn't really care. It was kind of boring. Here's the thing that I don't understand why people appreciate about the James Gunn movie when they don't like the Ayers movie of like, who cares about this? I don't know. I was like, well, this is the same. Like, it's still a movie about a bunch of villains who I don't necessarily care for them as people, and then also like their mission doesn't make any sense to me, and then like, you know, I don't know, I just it still felt this it felt like a better version of it, but it still felt very much the same.
No, like, I feel was like it followed. It followed like the same beats, like almost beat by beat for the air of the air movie. But it was. I don't know.
I think it's more. I think like for me, it's like with the air movie. Like I knew they all were bad guys, but like they didn't. Even though this movie starts with a mission, just kind of how theirs did, they squeezed in at least three or four moments that were just like them hanging out. Like we had the scene at the bar of them hanging out. To me, honestly, which is very weird, that I think was kind of fun, was that we almost even had kind of a bonding moment with like Bloodsport and Peacemaker as they're trying to outkill one another. And then even because like there was no camaraderie, like it didn't feel like there was no camaraderie moments in the Suicide Squad, the original. The only people who got that were Will Smith and Margot Robbie, and that was just together. It wasn't with the team. Like we saw like five moments of, you know, we saw the bar, we saw the shootout, we saw them on the bus, we saw the moment of like,
but the first was, I mean, not to disagree because I didn't like that movie either, but I watching it in reverse order, watching Suicide Squad after this, I was like, oh, I see them trying to do that stuff that this other movie just did better. Because they have, because there's a scene at the bar in Suicide Squad. Yeah, I was like,
isn't there literally a bar scene
in the
original Suicide Squad?
There's a scene at the bar. And it is, it's more individual looks, but it'll be like Will Smith and Hernandez's character.
Fire dude, Diablo.
The fire dude. They had moments and then they just like this movie, at the end, there's a very big like, we're not gonna do anything. Well, they also had sort of Waller there pushing them to keep working, but there is also a point in that where they're like, I guess we better be heroes. Like they kind of has all the beats.
It's not made as well.
Made as well.
I'm gonna be real. We all listen. We are Will Smith stan podcast. So I want everybody to know we love Will Smith. I also think there's something about to me watching Idris. Like, for instance, Will Smith, Deadshot is a more ruthless villain than Bloodsport. Like, he is known as like this wild ass dude, but he loves his kid. There were just moments where like I didn't believe some of the people in the first one were bad. And I think because we saw so much focus on Will Smith, and if it wasn't him, it was Margot, whereas this one, like, we did get to see, you know, Peacemaker and, like, how fucked up he was. We did get to see Polka Dot Man be weird. It just felt like because Idris is a star. Sorry. So I'm not saying he's not. But maybe because Idris isn't as big of a name as Will Smith, it was like they were able to, like, spread around the wealth a little more in this movie. Whereas, like, Will Smith was almost in every goddamn shot or scene in that other movie. And I think that kind of hurt it because we didn't get to see
but learn too much
about everybody else. And he's Will. And also, it wasn't like we were watching Will Smith, like, be bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, he might have been more reckless in Hancock than he was in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they, like, really want Will. They wanted Will to carry that first movie, but it's an ensemble movie. And, like, and I think, and I also think because of that, Idris got to do, we feel the weight of his non-relationship with his daughter more because we're not with him all the time. And when we are, he's gonna either be like trying to like, let's just get to this mission, or he's like my daughter. You know what I mean? Like it's those things stood out a lot more. At least for me. And then I also just want to say, because I know we're trying to move through it, the Harley separate story was so fun to follow. Like following Harley, like she's like going through and successfully completing her mission, but like only as Harley can do it.
Yeah.
That stuff was so fun.
I was about to say, just piggyback off what you said, I think there's a difference. And I just started understanding why people say things like this, like feel good and stuff like that. But like this movie, I'm like, oh, people look like they had fun. If that makes sense. Like I don't blame David Ayer for anything that happened on the first one. Like I like even James Gunn said that they like Warner Brothers let him do whatever he want without interference. Whereas like we know that wasn't the case for David Ayer. Like we know he had a lot of pressure, and that wasn't even pressure because of who he was. It was like those other movies did bad. So like we're looking at this one now, and that trailer was like, people seem to like it. How do we not fuck it up? They didn't test this movie. You know what I mean? They tested the shit out of David Ayer's movie with like a studio cut and then like a remixed version of all both. So like, I'm not trying to come at him because I feel like that's a very tough situation, but it just felt like this movie, they had fun and it was a lot of less weight on it because of what happened with the other one. So
this movie definitely leaned more into the, like, these people are villains, but they're not that scary because they're also dumb and like not good. Like, whereas the other movie, I think, actually, it's weird because you're saying like they didn't seem as bad, but I feel like that's all the original movie was like trying to do, like the fire dude doesn't see, he's not silly. He's
he's not legit
dangerous and scary. Like Jai Courtney is playing Boomerang. He's not so, like the witch is like a wit. Like she, all these other people are like legit scary villains who you're like, these are villains who are dangerous. And this movie, it's like, these are villains who like, it's like, it's like King Shark is obviously dangerous, but he's also really dumb. It's like Polka Dot Man is technically very dangerous, but he looks so silly and stupid. And
he's kind of a wimp,
that you can't take him seriously. Like the rat catcher is like, come on, like her power is controlling rat. It's like all these, like all these, and like in Peacemaker looks silly too.
So. Toilet bowl on his head. That's so a toilet bowl of justice.
It's like, like all these other people are a lot. They played up the comedy more in just who they are as characters, whereas the original one, like they had comedy, or like they tried to do some comedy, but the characters weren't comedic, and so the tone was conflicting. It was kind of off, and then this movie was like, no, our tone is silly, which like works. It just feels like a Deadpool movie because it kind of is, but like with the team. So Deadpool 2. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, it's good. It's fun. It just was like
Deadpool 2 also did the thing where they were like, this is the team, and then the team
they all die immediately. Dies.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
They all die immediately.
Yeah. I mean, but when the Margot Robbie story, like when she killed that dude, like I saw that coming a mile away. And that's only because I've seen these movies so many times where I'm like, all right, and now she just had sex with that guy. So like now she's going to kill him. You know what I mean?
Well, she got, it was funny because when I was going down, I was like, oh yeah, she's going to kill this dude. I thought it was going to happen a little later, not like just in the moment. But once we stayed on him for too long, I was like, oh, he about to get shot right now.
Did you think when this was earlier, but did you think when they went through that camp and they were like, they were murking everybody at the camp
that shit was
to
great.
Get Rick Flag? Were good guys?
Folks, good? No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know they were good guys, but also I had so much fun. Yeah, I had so much fun watching them trying to out, because it is super meta, so Bray's right. It's super meta that all these superheroes are exactly the same, just with different names. So the fact that we have established that these two are the same dude, like, but now we get to watch them both realize that, but try to prove that they're not in these fantastical ways. Like, this is fun. Like, when Idris was walking backwards and did it, and then John Cena took out his gun, shot the other guy that way. They were just murking these dudes. And I did, like, once they all got to the actual spot where Rick Flag was, and they all tried to low-key cover for each other. It was like, they just didn't come out.
We ain't even
like,
see nobody.
And then King Shark is such a cutaway joke. And I don't know why I like cutaways. It's like they show him and he already stuck his head in and he just goes, he just does a shrug. Like, this doesn't help anybody, but like it makes. And then it says a smash cut to her being like, what the fuck? I just like little moments like that because I feel like, you know what it is? I think Bray would be right. I think the other movie did try to establish everybody in a more serious tone. I just think this movie was directed better. Like, I just think it was like, it was even when I'm thinking about it now.
It was more like the vision was clearer.
Yes.
You know?
It was like the shots were tighter. Like the fact that like, again, those transitions where we clearly had to establish where he was going to shoot there. Like, it was like, this is what this guy does. If you watched, what was that movie? James, I don't know why I'm looking at you like you watched it, but Bray, you may know. Like James Gunn's old movie with Tom Brokaw when he turns into like an alien, like the sludge.
Yes.
It felt like this is a James Gunn movie. Slither. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like this felt like, yes, the guy who made that clearly made this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Slither.
But yeah, I love that scene. Also, man, you know what I did like as well is that this movie, because it was in this fake island, Corto Maltese, it could have been kind of offensive to Latinos, but I thought they did a good job of but it was close, but I felt like they tried to like balance it with with Alice's character, with even like the guy that
what's his name, who Harley kills at one point. Also, did anyone peep the Guardians cameo? I saw it like when they were in the bar, the girl who plays Mantis. She's like the main showgirl singing.
I thought that was her.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was dope. Was then we had Taika. Then we had Taika as you know, the original Ratcatcher. Fucking Taika. Taika's in everything right now.
This is movies like this is how I know that I'm not like a fanboy. Like I don't get excited by this stuff, and I also start to get annoyed by it. Like I'm just like when Taika Waititi showed up, I'm like, why though? Like
this is equivalent. Yeah, that
could have been anybody.
It could have been an actor. Like I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed by that stuff. But
to me,
this is
the equivalent to when the Frat Pack used to make their movies, and like when I'm watching Anchorman, and all of a sudden it's like Ben Stiller from Spanish One News in this fight. It's like, yeah, man, this is like they're just having fun. It's like their friends are just in it just to like.
When she's crying, when she cried and was thinking about her dad, I was like, is anybody getting emotional? Like, is there any human being watching this movie getting emotional at this moment? And I hope there was, because I wasn't.
I hope there was, because I...
Well, listen, this is my thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I wanted justice for the thinker, because they put the thinker in this movie.
Yeah, man. How are you never going to show us his power ever? Why was this like, so he's true. Just a we dude never with some it. Stuff sticking out of his head?
The closest we get is that like, is
he says
the quote unquote reveal that he's been, you know, he has actually been secretly doing all of these experiments this whole time. Like that he knows, but we know that he.
But yeah, we knew that.
We know that he's been connected to this, but he, in that like final monologue when he's kind of talking about what the steps were, it was like, okay, all right, so we know that he's been smart in this way this whole time, but not like
he says at one point, like, oh, like when he sees the rat catcher's device, he's like, I've been working on a device of like that of my own but for humans. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Nice, we're gonna see him use that at some point. And then he never does. I was like, okay, come on now, that's the equivalent of pulling out a gun in an improv scene and never using it. I was like,
Was Starro supposed to be that for him? Like,
I mean, Starro was so, that. I guess.
Think, yeah, I think that's what I mean. Is that like
I don't
like,
know. You're right though,
because we know that he's connected to Starro, and we know he's been doing X, Y, and Z, but like not to the degree, you know, that he's been doing it. That when we see that is sort of like the thing. But it's like, no, we didn't see him do anything. And then when Starro gets out, they just kill him. There was like, no,
I know. I hated that, dude. I was like, come on, I hate when movies establish a bad guy and then that person is killed and we never see that person. We never see why anyone was afraid of this person ever. Like, we never see it. We just are told it. And I'm like, even the experience, I'm like, you've been experimenting on this thing for 30 years and you've literally, like, what have you learned? It seems like nothing. Yeah. It seems like you've learned what you knew immediately was that it can shoot out little stars that grab onto somebody's face and then that person becomes another extremity of this big starfish.
Yeah.
And you have all these humans that you are experimenting on. What have you learned from that? There's no device that you've made. It's like, and all that was keeping this thing inside was like a building. And like once a glass, once it broke, this thing was completely free.
I do wish we'd have got, because also, you know, you're right. It would have been better if they just would have had Thinker as the bad guy. It's like, you could have just had him experimenting on Starro the whole time and it just going after him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't need the army and stuff. Yeah. Like,
once they get there, like,
he was controlling it for a bit. There's a period where they destroy the device that's controlling him and then it's free, you know.
That's all we need. And this movie, you know, this movie is 2 hours and like 15, 20 minutes long. It's like they had room for like that. Like, they could have done that. And it seemed like they were building up to that, because the more, you know, the thinker's in it, his role in the movie grows as the movie goes on. And the more we see of him, the more it's like, he's really, this is exciting. but then we don't. I just love Peter Capaldi.
Oh, he was Doctor Who?
Doctor Who in this bitch?
Oh, he was.
Yeah. He was the last one before Jody Whitaker.
Everyone's now pitching that guy from Ted Lasso, the Indian guy. Everyone's like, he should be the new Doctor Who. I mean, I don't watch Doctor Who, so I don't know if that's good
or
bad.
We'll see. We'll see what they do.
We get to the end. They kill off everybody from the original except for Margot Robbie. Like, we kill Rick Flag in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm fine with.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought they did a good job of really setting up Peacemaker by killing Rick Flag, because I couldn't care less about Rick Flag in the first movie. But something about it happening in this way, in this moment, and him kind of getting that last dig of like, that character building dig of like, you ain't shit or whatever it is he says.
Yeah, he said Peacemaker, what a joke.
Yeah, what a joke. Yeah, that was cool. Oh, and I loved the way they backtracked and showed how how Idris
that shit was so fun
building yeah. for that video game moment, for that video game standoff also, moment.
Idris is very cool to me, man. Like, it's one of the things, like, watching this movie, I was like, yo, like, you know how you have actors who are like, oh yeah, George Clooney's charming, blah blah blah, Brad Pitt smolders, whatever. It's like watching Idris, like, yo, you are cool. Like, he's just a cool dude. Like, because he leans for some reason. Like, he never is like, he's never perfectly upright. So even when he lands, like, he's like cocked to the side. And then he finally stays, like, he has to readdress himself.
I need a movie with Idris and Lakeith Stanfield and see who can be more crooked than the way they stand. I just need those two standing next to each other.
Like, listen, it'd be good. Who got to lean the best? Once they cast like Lakeith as like Joker, you know, he'd be the Suicide Squad 3 villain or something like that. Honestly. Who knows? Yeah, man, he'll make a good one. He's weird as hell. Like, he's a weird ass dude.
He would be a good villain character.
Anyway.
So is Killer Shark, Killer Shark, is he indestructible? Is that what we're supposed to glean from this film?
Like, he's really hard to kill. Yeah, he's like really hard to kill. Because I thought he was dead when he fell. And that motherfucker just got up.
I mean, he was dead 3 different times. He got attacked by those weird fish things. That
was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, classic joke that's been used in 7 movies before, but like wow.
Minimum 7 movies. Being gracious by saying 7 movies.
True. At least. Cute things that now attack him. And then there was like blood coming out of the water. So I was like, oh, wow, they killed Killer Shark. And then he fell to his death and then lived. And then he got shot by the entire army. And lived, and then a building fell on him, and he lived. And I was like, so he can't die.
I see him as like Hulk, you know, like that, like all of those things that happen. Hulk would survive.
Yeah, Hulk would survive that. You're right.
They might not have drawn blood though. That was the thing that was confusing. They drew blood in the water, but I think they wanted to do the like, you know. Well, no, but also shark jaws, being bit in the water, the sharks being bit in the water.
Yeah, it was pretty like, oh, this shark is getting killed by a little fish in the water. That's kind of ironic. Yeah. Except it didn't. They didn't complete that, so then it didn't make any sense.
I would say this, man. I thought the visuals were cool. I thought, like, even as we got here to the end, once Starro gets out,
they were.
And then also, one thing, we get way more Viola Davis in this, and she's completely an asshole, which I'm like, this is the comic. Like, she has no redeemable value, like, in the comic. She is a horrible person. And they didn't It's so funny because I was watching this movie, like, why are we talking to her minions as much? Like, so I was like, oh, they end up helping at the end, but also I think some of those people aren't going to be in Peacemaker.
They're gonna be on the show, probably.
And I was like, okay, this is why we do it. Oh. Also, the guy
Did we get more Amanda Waller? I thought we got less because she ends up being
With
the squad for the third act of the first one. But in this one, for that final bit, they knock her out. We don't even see her.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, and she was only in one location. I will say that you didn't like the humor on the plane. The forced humor that was her Amanda Waller and all these. I was like, guys. Please, if you want to do this, get a bunch of comedians who I know so that they can just riff. No offense to these actors, but I was just like, I don't like this. I don't like this guy being like, oh, this is the, what did he say? He said, he was like, yes, I'm good at my job. There was just a bunch of different things where I was just like,
I think he's the only comedian.
I guess I was shocked that they knocked. Yeah.
But also, why did she attack them? Why didn't she attack them? She just looked at them. I was like, yo, I expected her to go out then.
She would have killed them all. She would have murdered them.
Both movies have done a terrible job at representing Amanda Waller. Like, she, like, Viola, you know, raises the bar just by being Viola Davis. But each movie ends with Amanda Waller not doing a thing that I would expect Amanda Waller to do, which is either kill everybody, like, like in both movies, she
in
has
the
just
first
cause
movie,
to
she,
just
she does have a gun and it's like fighting.
Because
right?
I expected her to like again in the comics. Sometimes like she ends up getting herself in trouble. Like right now in the comics, spoiler alert: Joker gets her with the basically they in the comics she ends up putting Jason Todd on Suicide Squad right now. So spoiler: Joker, like when they're trying to go find Joker, Joker finds Amanda and does the crowbar thing, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
And so and I mean, kills her.
We haven't seen the body, but theoretically, that's what happens. So she always gets caught up, but usually, like she will have a gun or like she will like figure out a way to like murk somebody until someone can get there. So when she was just sitting in the room with ice on her head, I was like, yo, I expected her to.
Everybody was still at work.
Like, she's just looking at him like
open a drawer and like mad. Have fucking buttons for them. Have buttons for
That's
them.
That's what I thought was going to happen. That's what I swear to God. I thought she was going to be like, look at them and then
Same.
Open a thing.
They didn't
go,
even
pop,
know.
Pop,
they didn't even know it's going
to
happen. Like, murk all
to her whole crew.
Like, that'd have been fire.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. See, this is the thing that is annoying to me. I was like,
no, go ahead,
brother. Never mind. Everyone can like. There are certain things where I was like, you could surprise me in these other ways.
No, but I then get
you
it. Just I get did it.
The,
I get
I don't it. Know. I just felt it. Still, the movie was still it. In the pocket of everything. It was better though. It was. It was made better. I just again, I wish this movie came out.
No, you ain't wrong.
10 years ago.
What else? No, but I mean, and that's pretty much it. Once you get to the end, yeah. I really did like. I thought Polka Dot Man was going to make it at one point. I was like, oh, he ain't dead yet. He going to make it.
Yo.
He
didn't.
Well, when he started screaming, I'm a superhero, and they had that long shot, I was like, well, you're definitely about to
this
die.
Is it.
No, but that was good. I actually didn't like the after credit scenes. I didn't like either one.
The mom
stuff was funny. There was two.
Oh,
I didn't like
two.
Was, I thought
you
it was funny at
stuff?
One point because it was just
the
random.
One.
Yeah, it was fine. It was just random. But yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there were two. I remember.
What was the? It was Weasel, and then what was the other one?
And then John Cena is still like,
yeah, John Cena.
They can bring him back up, and it's like we're going to make him save
that.
The world.
It's
basically
it's
like
the,
setting up
set
the
up
the
show. It set up the show.
Yeah, wait, who brings him back?
They find
they
him in the rubble, and he's not dead.
Yeah, his heart was still.
How
beating.
How is he not dead?
They were just like his heart was still beating. Something literally something like his heart is still beating for America. Like
yeah, some dumb shit.
And who? Why do they like him?
I don't know. Because
no,
Hollywood
no,
wants
like
us
him.
To like John Cena.
They don't like him. They go. What are we supposed to do with him? We're supposed to help him save
we're
the
forced.
Fucking world. And they say that this is punishment from Waller.
Yeah, it's like they got to be stuck with him. It's like the blonde woman who spoke way too much, and the blonde dude who spoke way too much. Now I got to watch
punishment from Waller.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Why? It's out of all the characters,
have,
why does he
have,
get the spinoff?
We have a movie in which Waller literally threatens to take somebody's teenage daughter and because she
Bray,
stole a watch,
Bray,
put
don't
him
do it.
In a high security prison where she'll get killed. And then that same person lets her underlings smack her in the head with a golf club and her punishment to them is... making them work with Peacemaker?
Yeah, Bray. Yeah, Bray. That's yeah. All right.
Yep. Bray anyway. Just finished his water glass
well,
at that
I mean,
moment.
You know, that's this movie.
Killer Shark was fun.
That's this
what
movie.
What was his name? What did they keep calling him? Noir?
Oh, I didn't even know he was supposed to be like a.
It was like the Shark King
god. Yeah,
yeah, it was cool. I didn't know that. I don't remember what it was. Let's see.
I think that's a part of the I think on the HBO show, I think he's like a prince, but doesn't want to do his princely duties. I think they try to force him to get married in one of the episodes, and he's like, and he's like terrible at it.
Is it in Norway?
Yes.
Yeah. Norway. It's insane that rats are the ones that bring down the.
I thought that was kind of cool, and then Harley came in, it's not your city, it's not our city, it's theirs. I thought that was kind of cool. She had and then Harley, I know what the javelin's for.
This whole
but also makes... that shot is so again, man, I just think it was just, yeah, it was just better directed. Like the visual,
all the rats just like jumping in the water. Yeah,
and it's her kind of just like floating. It's just the visual, even the shot of like when she's escaping herself and like the roses are coming up. And then like, when she, like I thought like it visually, comics are not like a comic. Real. It's not real. They're playful. And it's like, I just like that he attempted
to just have fun. Don't do this. The Nolan series did something unique and new at the time, which was, hey, we're going to take this comic movie and try to make it feel real. And it worked doing that. Once somebody does that, you stop doing it because it's already been done. That's what Zack Snyder forgot. Is like, he was like, all right, now I'm going to make Superman real. It's like, well, Superman is really not real. Let's not do that. Batman at least makes sense because it's a human being with some tech. You don't do it for an alien who could shoot laser beams from his eyes and has cold breath. Anyway.
And now I got to watch the superhero. Now I got to watch Michael B. Jordan be Superman on a goddamn HBO Max show. Lord have mercy.
Wait, what?
Y'all ain't hear about that?
Who?
Yeah, we have to watch an HBO Max show.
Michael B has a whether he plays Superman or not.
I am really tired.
I am actually tired of superheroes.
Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing the script.
No, that's a Superman movie. Michael B is producing a show about a black Superman.
Anyway, I know this was a lot of fun. Sorry, I hope I didn't ruin anybody.
The movie's great. You did, Bray.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Because not for me. I had a great time. I had a great time watching this movie. I'm still going to see it again. Sure. I don't disagree with the stuff you said, though. That's the one thing. It didn't ruin the movie for me, but I don't disagree with the stuff you said because you're right. Like, it could have gone harder.
Yeah, I agree.
Played with our expectations in ways that other movies hadn't, you know. Even more, it 1000% could have, but I also think that now that this movie has been made in the DCEU, you know what you're talking about can now happen. It just took like we needed this for it to be like for now to be like, oh, Amanda Waller's gonna, you know, someone's gonna mouth off to Amanda Waller in the at Argus and they're gonna get their head blown up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like now that can happen.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I hope if we get another Suicide Squad movie, I do kind of want the I want it to feel a little more connected than they've been. Like, it's been like they're on a mission, but like the main bad guy they face at the end is not actually the mission. It's like, I don't know, like I feel like it could be a little more connected. I don't know. Maybe not.
The first time it was the mission, and I thought that was actually the problem. I thought the problem with the first movie
was the beginning,
they were like, we got to stop this. Or no, I think it became that she got too powerful. They were going to do one thing, but they didn't know that secretly they were actually trying to stop this witch the whole time. They didn't know that. That movie feel to me
weird. Well,
that
was similar to this where it was like their thing was to stop this government, but then it was like actually
it's the US government.
And then it was like, and then we're going to stop this starfish even. Anyway,
I was like,
in this world, like, wouldn't Superman have arrived?
Oh,
you know what I
mean?
Let me tell you.
Like, that's what I wanted to happen. Yeah. I really wanted that to happen. When they were like, when Starro was just like going through and they were like, I guess we gotta leave. I was like, oh shit, is Superman about to fly in right now? I really thought it was gonna happen. And when it didn't, I was upset, but then appreciated the way that they took
But also
Starro
say
down.
He would have came right at the end. Apparently one of the earlier drafts were that they were supposed to hunt down Bizarro.
I don't know that.
Who is the evil Superman, the clone, the genetic clone that Lex makes, and is like kind of dumb. But then the video game coming out is literally them having to fight the Justice League. Like
they didn't want to do that because it would cross over the game.
But anyway, I mean, I think what this movie proves is we need more Idris Elba. You know, and I mean that in like we need more badass Idris Elba. Like I know he doesn't want to be James Bond, but Hollywood, throw the bag at him and make sure he's James Bond. Could you imagine how smooth and how cool a James Bond Idris Elba would be, bruh? Oh my goodness. All right, like throw the money at him. Just because the thing is, like, give him the buckets. He's gonna be able to fight. He's gonna be smooth as hell. He had gadgets in this movie. You saw how smooth he brought out the guns and was like just adding stuff to the last gun. And come on, baby, give my man the suit, bro. Give him the suit and the bow tie, and we in the streets. That's what Hollywood should learn from this movie. Idris Elba Bond, do it, make it happen. I got tickets open tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing about the movie that I would have loved to see happen, because I thought this movie was great, but I feel like what would have made it better, right, is like Harley, you know, she jumps into the eyeball. She's there. She's in the eyeball. The rats start coming in, but Starro doesn't go down yet. Starro doesn't go down yet. And they're like, what is happening? Why can't Starro go down? And then out of nowhere, a basketball spins through the eyeball. Boom. Knocks out one of the...
yeah,
knocks out one of the nerves.
Oh, my
And then
goodness.
We pan out and Steel is there. And he was just like, I made a free throw.
Wait, Steel?
Steel?
No.
Steel?
I made a free throw.
No. Honestly, that fits this world. So you know what? Let's Steel.
Oh, yeah. I guess Steel is a DC...
I thought
character.
You were going to say Toon Squad, but Steel
makes
sense.
It wasn't
going
to be the Toon Squad. No, it wasn't going to be the Toon
Still makes sense. Still makes sense. Wow, James, Steel. Good Lord. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying, Steel could have done the free throw to save the day. Free throw to save the day.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Yeah, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. We feel like the film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. Somewhat help the cause, we give it a white palm. If it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right, count of three, we're going to raise up our ratings for The Suicide Squad. One. Hmm. Two.
Might be so goddamn dramatic.
Three.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow. Fist
and a white palm from Dura. I was close to giving it a white palm, I will say, but.
I only gave it a palm. Like, I genuinely like this movie and again want to watch it again. I gave it that because I wasn't sure it helped. Because, like, Idris is Idris. Like this movie would have bombed. Idris is still Idris. I looked it up. I can't tell if Ratcatcher
is a person of color. I'm trying to figure it out. So I'm not sure. I mean, I know this is her, like, literally she did like, oh, she's Portuguese.
Okay.
So, but I know this is like her first big acting role. I think she did like some voiceover stuff and now this. So like, yeah, I guess it helped her. But like, as far as anyone else, I mean, I don't know. It was like, Idris was the only black dude in the movie. Like Storm was a black girl, but she wasn't really in it. And Viola's like, Viola is Viola. Like, it'd be different if Storm would have been Ratcatcher or something, or would have been in the movie. I don't know if it helped people of color. That is to be true. Honest.
There were a lot of white people in the, more than I like. At a certain point, I was like, oh, there's a lot of white people in this movie.
Yeah, and then like the also military
for being
woman,
set in a place where everyone speaks Spanish, I was like, there's still a lot of white people in this movie.
Yeah, so I'm not sure it helped anybody. That's why I did it. That's why I did it. So.
I think that's fair. My thing was just, I think that Storm still has a standout role in this. Like, she's still super memorable at the end of her 1.5 scenes that she had. And like, for even though Idris is always going to be Idris, I still think that Idris and your Dear Hollywood kind of talked about this. Like, we still need more roles like this for Idris so that people know that he's the dude. Like, because I feel like people still don't know he's the dude. And it's like, what the hell? Like, why is that still the case? So that, I mean, this movie may actually have less diversity than the first Suicide Squad. It might. Well, I mean, this is set in Coromantee, so there's clearly more POCs, but I don't know. But still, for those reasons, the fact that I think that it promoted two black actors that I think the world needs to know of more. And some people might have been introduced to Storm in this, you know, for that, I gave it a fist.
Yeah. And I gave it a fist similar. I think that Idris is still a good role for Idris. And it's good to see a black man leading a movie of this budget and, you know, superheroes and stuff like that. So, yeah, but, you know, I think two black fists and white palm makes sense.
Two black fists, white palm!
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where we have links to merchandise. We have, like, t-shirts and the phone cases, things like that. We also have a defunct Patreon, but we have a year's worth of episodes if you ever want to check that out. It's $5 a month. You can listen to all the episodes and then unsubscribe if you like. And you can follow me at John Braylock on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, you can follow me at James Third Comedy. And you can follow my webcomic, Poor Man Chronicles, at Poor Man Funnies on Twitter or at Poor Man Chronicles on Instagram.
Nice, nice.
With the plug.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan. Oh, and should we plug this LA show? Is that a smart thing to do?
Yeah.
I mean, we should. Should we do it right now?
Yeah, we should do it. Before the world shuts down again, we, along with some friends to be announced later, are doing a show in Los Angeles and West Hollywood at the Comedy Nook on Thursday, September 16th. That'd be at 7. You can, you know, go to Comedy Nook or whatever.com and buy tickets, you know, or just show up in person, come through, come chill, come blah, blah, blah. They got a bar, you know. You're going to be in these streets. We outside. I'm stealing Jadakiss's line. We outside. We outside. And,
if you rate and review us, give us 5 stars on iTunes, we'll read your review on the air. So I didn't get to read this full review because I was looking on my computer, but now I have on my phone, I can see the full thing. This was the Big EJ67. He said, I love your show. It really is amazing to hear what other men of color, especially ones that are in the industry, have to say and their opinions on the movies that Hollywood puts out. Gerard's my favorite, and as another angry black man, I know.
Come on!
I forgot it was this one.
Here we go. Wait, but this is what it says. I know you have a reason to be upset and very well outspoken with your opinions. Don't let Bray gaslight you, man. James is laughing out loud. Hilarious, too. There is a movie I have wanted you guys to review since I first heard your podcast. It's called American Skin. And I just want to give you a heads up. It's going to upset you, but I would love to know your opinions on it.
Didn't we do that?
No, we were going to do it, but but exactly what this person says, like, it, we were like, we're going to be upset. Like, it was going to make us feel all kinds of things. And so we didn't do it yet, but we, I mean, hey.
Oh, so I watched that depressing movie for no reason. Oh, Lord.
No, you watched, remember you watched it and then you were like.
Yes. I remember now.
Okay. This one is from Nasser Villanueva, I think. Love this podcast. This podcast is important for actors of color in the industry. The detail to how images and films have overtly and subtextually driven racial stereotypes is on point. I would recommend reviewing 92's Deep Cover, 94's The Glass Shield, and 1933, yes, 1933's The Emperor Jones, starring Paul Robeson.
Oh, okay. Oh shit. I would love to do that one, actually. Yeah. I haven't seen a Paul Robeson movie.
Me neither. That sounds, we'll add that to the list. All right. Well, thank you guys for sticking with us. We will see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!